You have your Bible open, and I appreciate each one of those who said a word. Listen, probably everyone would have liked to. I realize also people, they get a little nervous, and, it happens. And again, I do hope you'll come tonight for more reasons than just that, but if you have a word you'd like to say about your dad, you don't have to say it in the church. You don't have to say it before us. If he's still living, say it to him. It's important that you let your dad know that you appreciate him. And you say, well, you know, my dad wasn't all that. Well, mine wasn't either, but I tell you one thing my dad did do. God used my dad to give me the gift of life. And for that, I will forever be grateful, because I sure do have a great life. Now, my dad gave me life. My earthly father gave me life, but my heavenly father has given me life more abundantly. And I sure am thankful for it. I sure am thankful for that. You may have read, along with Pastor David, I hope that you did, in Matthew chapter number 4. And you may have been wondering, what in the world does this have to do with Father's Day? Well, when God laid this scripture on my heart, I didn't ask him why, but I was kind of wondering, you know, but what in this could help dads? Well, I think it'll help us all, because I believe that what we have here is really one of the major keys to a successful life. It's understanding the importance of the spiritual. Now, I want you to understand what's happening here. Jesus has just been baptized, and the heavens is open in chapter 3, and there was a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then immediately the scripture says that the Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness, him meaning Jesus. And if you're not careful, and I want you to be turning to Luke chapter number 4, because I want to show you something. See, when you read this initially, if you just read Matthew's account, now Matthew, Mark, and Luke record what we call the temptation of Christ. And so, if you're not careful, you'll think, well, you know, Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, and he fasted those 40 days, and when he got real hungry and real weak, well, then the devil came to him, and he tempted him. But that's not what happened at all. That's not what happened at all. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter number 4, we find where Luke said, and Jesus, Luke 4 verse 1, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. He was tempted every day. So please don't think, well, what happened here is Jesus fasted for 40 days, and when he got real weak, then the devil showed up. Well, that's not what happened at all. I'm glad that there's four accounts. I'm glad that there's the cube. And so Luke kind of give us a different perspective. Now, that doesn't mean that Matthew was wrong. He just did not include some of the things that Luke did. And so Luke says that every day Jesus was tempted. Can I tell you? Every day you're going to be tempted. Every day. Well, the devil's going to tempt me when I get weak. Well, he might turn it up some. But he's going to tempt you every day. He's going to tempt me every day. And so the scripture says here that Jesus for 40 days was tempted of the devil. Now, Jesus fasted those 40 days. And I believe he prayed those 40 days. And when you read Mark's account, you find that he was there even among the beast. I mean, I don't even really know how to comprehend all that the Lord Jesus was encountering in this time of trial and temptation. But as we go back to Matthew, I want to just point out a few things that I hope will help you dads, okay? I hope it'll help every one of us fathers and grandfathers. You say, preacher, what God has asked me to do and the responsibility that God has put on me as a father and as a grandfather, and for some of you, a great-grandfather. You know, it's just, preacher, I don't think I can do it in myself. Well, let me just go ahead and help you. You can't. You can't do it in yourself. The thinking's over. We can't do it in ourselves. We need God's help. Amen. The Bible says that even Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost when he went out to face this temptation. If I am going to rear my children If I am going to be an influence to my adult children and to my grandchildren as a father figure and a grandfather figure, I'm going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And you are too. One of the greatest things we can teach our children, our grandchildren, please don't miss this, is right here. It's how to have victory. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to teach my children how to make money. Be sure to do that. But don't forget to teach them how to have victory. Amen. Now, I'm going to teach my children how to be successful in life. Well, don't leave out how to have victory, how to defeat the enemy, how to overcome temptation. Because at the end of life, if our children, our grandchildren have it all, but they have fallen victim to the enemy, what good has it done them? If we haven't taught them how to fight the good fight, if we haven't taught them how to overcome temptation, then what good is all the other things we could teach them? Don't misunderstand the message this morning, brethren. Fathers, grandfathers, please hear me. I'm not saying don't teach them vocation. I'm not saying don't get them education. I'm not saying don't throw a ball with them or teach them how to hit, teach them how to shoot, teach them how to throw, teach them how to kick. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying along with that, don't leave out how to have victory over the enemy. Because they're going to face it. I mean, listen, the barrels of hell are pointed toward your children and our grandchildren, brethren. And if we don't teach them how to fight, who's going to teach them? Who's going to teach them? Our Lord Jesus did this for my sake. Our Lord Jesus did this for your sake. And I want to just look at a few things. And I hope you'll follow along. It's really not my intent this morning to go into detail to all this, the things that Jesus faced, though it's hard for me. Because when I look at this, I see Jesus did this for me. He was teaching me the battle strategy. He was giving me the ground attacked and how that I could fight the devil. If you'll notice, the scripture says, we're back in Matthew chapter number 4. It says in verse number 3, the tempter, when Jesus had fasted 40 days and nights. Now we know that, now listen to me, we know that all those 40 days and 40 nights, he was being tempted. Isn't that what Luke said? The whole time. Now how was he being tempted? I don't know. I don't fully know all the ways. I know this, Satan can put thoughts in your mind. Now Jesus was not being tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil. Read James chapter 1. He cannot be tempted with evil. All right? Is that what James 1 says? Amen. Jesus was being tempted as a man. How do you know that? Look, if you would, in Matthew 4, look at verse number 4. When Jesus answered the tempter, he said, it is written. What's the next word? It is written. What's the next word? Say it loud, church. Man. Man. Jesus faced temptation as a man. You say, but I thought Jesus was the God-man. He is the God-man. But when Jesus faced Satan, temptation, he did not use his divine power. He said, man, man. Jesus wanted to show you and me that as man, as human, 100% God is Jesus, but also 100% man. Man shall not live by bread alone. Amen. And so Jesus is saying, listen up, man. Mankind, listen up. I want to give you something that's going to help you to overcome the enemy and something to teach you, to teach your children to live the victorious Christian life. So they don't have to be found in the dregs of sin. So that they don't have to be rescued from the ditches of drunkenness. So that they don't have to be trying to be reformed from drugs. Listen, I want to teach you how that you can have victory so that you can teach your children how to overcome the enemy. So the tempter came to him And the Bible says that he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Again, I don't want to get too much in detail of this, but I have to say this. I believe inside, I really do, Jesus was chuckling. Like, you're kidding me, right? I can turn water to wine. I can take a few loaves and fishes and feed the thousands. What makes you think I can't turn these stones to bread? But Dale Freeman can't. Brian Berker can't. B.J. Short can't. But I'm going to show you and them what they can do. And so he said in verse number 4, it is written. You want to defeat the devil? Bring the sword from the sheath. Know how to use that sword. Know what the Word of God says. This is the lesson here. There's many lessons, but the overriding lesson is right here. Man shall not live, now watch this, by bread alone. Didn't say man didn't need bread. Don't leave here saying, well, you know, now, we Christians, we believe that man doesn't need bread. Well, the Bible nowhere says that. As a matter of fact, God fed them bread, fed them manna from heaven. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He just said, man shall not live by bread alone. You be sure, and God help me, let us men, let us rise up and teach this next generation, teach our children and grandchildren. Bread is important, but it's not the most important. Physical, psychological, emotional, mental needs are important, but they're not the most important. The spirit of man is the most important component of man. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but, you with me in verse number 4? By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Are you teaching your children that? Fathers, I hope that you are. I do. I believe many of you are. Perhaps all of you to some extent. We'll get into the how in just a moment. But I want to just let you know that when Jesus said, when temptation comes, the preacher's not there to help. Your preacher loves you, but your preacher's not the answer. Amen. The church is not the answer. I love church. Don't you love church? Some of you do. I love it. Amen. I'm going to ask that again. Maybe you'll wake up and answer. I love church. Don't you love church? Yeah. Amen. I know you do. I just wanted to hear you say it. It makes me feel better. But listen, don't teach your children that the church is the answer. Don't teach your children the preacher's the answer. Not even a good church family. A loving, caring church family. That's not the answer. It is written is the answer. What does God say? What saith the Scriptures? Right? Well, I'm being tempted. What saith the Scriptures? And that's what Jesus said. When the devil comes and he wants to tempt and he wants to get you in a snare and he wants to entrap, you break out the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you say it is written. I wonder across this great country how we have all, listen, we've all seen the decline of our country. Could it be that we have so focused on physical hunger, we run commercials, we pump billions of dollars into feeding the hungry, and I'm not opposed to that. But I'm here to declare unto you, there is a greater hunger in our country than that of a physical hunger. It is a spiritual hunger. We have gone hungry for the seeking of it is written. We have forgotten to teach a generation of people that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, brethren. There it is, every word. We need the Bible. The Bible is the answer. People scoff at it. They laugh at it. They joke about it. They turn their backs on it. But I'm going to tell you, the answer to every ill that faces every home, every individual, every city, every state, every country in this world is the Word of God. The Word of God. First thing that Jesus was faced with here is the devil told him, you know what? God's not going to meet your needs. Now, dads, listen to me. You teach your children that God will meet their needs. You teach their children that dad won't always be around. Dad loves you. Dad will teach you how to fish. Dad's not going to give you a fish. Dad's going to teach you how to fish. Amen. So you can fish. Dad's going to teach you how to do it on your own. He's going to teach you how to make it. But God has given you a gift and an ability that will go far beyond what dad teaches you. And you teach your children and grandchildren how to hook up with that. How to get involved in that. So that they can be used of God and they can see God will meet my need. Does God say he'll meet the need of his own brethren? Come on, does he? Please teach your children that. Please teach your children that God will meet their needs. It's not the government's place to meet our needs. It's not the government's place to meet our children's needs. It's not mom and dad's place, grandma and grandpa. Listen to me. We've gotten off track. We're not teaching our children what the Word of God says. The Word of God says God will meet your needs. We say it often from this pulpit. We say it in our staff meetings. God has been very good to this ministry. God has met every need that we have. God has shown himself strong in behalf of this work right here. God's did that, brethren. It's not your preacher. It's not some group of people or a family. Listen, it's God Almighty. It's our Heavenly Father. He's met our needs. Teach your children to teach their children, to teach their children, to pass it down. God will meet your needs. God will meet your needs. And that's what Satan was trying to get Jesus to doubt. Your father's left you out here to starve. He's left you high and dry and hungry. And Jesus said, no. No. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Right? What did he say? It is written. Do we know enough of what is written to see us through the times of temptation? I sure hope you understand what's happening right here. Jesus wants to teach us something. Temptation's coming your way, sir. The enemy's coming after your family. Teach your family who their provider is. Teach your family what is written. Show them how to get in that book and claim its promises. Right? Yes. Yes. Number two, look at the second one here in verse number. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him in the pinnacle of the temple. Now, the first dealt with appetite. I could go on and on here, but I got to hurry. Not because I want to get done quick. I just want to get the rest of this in. Well, I tell you, we human beings really need to learn what it is to control our appetites. And I don't mean just about food. Just physical. And this is what's being taught here. Don't you get so rambunctious. Don't you get so out of control. Don't you get so far-fetched on your appetites that you forget what's important in life. And that is, it is written. What does God say about it? What does God say about it? Number two, he moves from appetites to acceptance. You know, I'm stunned at the things that people will do, and I've been guilty of it. I think everyone here in a way has been. What people will do for acceptance, for approval. We've come up with a name for it. It's called peer pressure for our young folks. But can I tell you, we all go through that kind of pressure. We want the approval of others. And that's exactly what's happening here. Read it with me. Verse number 5. Then the devil taking him up into a holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Satan said, I can do that too. Right? I can do that too. Oh, you be careful when Satan starts quoting the Bible now. He's never going to quote it to you right. He didn't in the beginning. He didn't here. And he's still not doing it. He's going to twist it and turn it. He's going to dilute it, corrupt it, to say what he wants it to say. I pray often, God, help me not to do that. I don't want to turn and twist the scripture and say what I want it to say. I want it to come out pure and unadulterated like you said it, Lord. And the scripture says here, his angels, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Now here's what he's saying. And I must go through this. There's so much here. He's saying, listen, you're 30 years old. Now, don't you listen. That's what the devil will do to you. You're 30 years old. Man, you're getting nowhere this way. This thing of doing things the Bible way, this thing of church and God, come on. Come on. Look around you. Man, with all you've got, with the abilities you have, you should have thousands of followers. You should have hundreds of thousands of followers. Wow. You could have a claim. You could have a following. You could have the approval and the applause of individuals, the acceptance of many people. But all you got to do is just something spectacular. Just kind of throw yourself off this pinnacle here, right? That's what he's saying. Just do something daring. Just put it out there. Well, you're talking about a bunch of likes. Just speak your mind and put it out there. Boy, you'll get all kinds of lies. You go, girl. You tell them. Just put it out there. Everybody will approve of you then. Just let them know what you're thinking. That's foolish. That's the devil. Dad, you sure? I'll beat everybody up. Listen, I'll beat your daddy up. And if he don't like it, I'll beat his daddy up. Well, you sure are something, aren't you? You see what the devil does, brethren? That's what he's doing here. The first one dealt with provision. This one deals with protection. You just act the fool. You just act crazy. God will protect you, right? He gave his angels charge over you. You know what the Lord told him? Look at what he says. Verse number 7. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, there's nothing wrong with being obedient. God has a problem with those that are presumptuous. I'm going to give you one example and I must hurry. Peter. See, the devil will try to have people doing just silly stuff to get attention. People, listen, folks, they learn it at an early age. I should say we, not they. We learned it at an early age. If I want attention, I'll just show out. I'll just be loud. I'll just talk back. What you might do, you in the wrong house, is you just might get a whipping. That might be what happens. I said the wrong house. I should have said the right house. I'll just lay down on the floor and kick my feet, make a scene, and I mean, I'll just get everybody's attention. And people say, oh, look how sweet. Look, oh, ain't he something? Yeah, he's rebellious. And he needs a switch. I don't like that. Well, that's for another time. The scripture says right here, there's nothing wrong with being obedient if God told you to. But now don't be going doing stuff that God hasn't told you to do, thinking, well, God will take care of me. How many times have you heard somebody say that? Well, God will take care of me. That's not why Peter got off the boat and walked on the water. Peter got off the boat and walked on the water because Jesus said, come. Somebody say amen with me. Now, if God tells you to do it, obey it. But please don't swell up with your pride and say, well, you know, I'm going to make a scene here. I'm going to show them what I can do. See, it becomes about you. And that's what Satan was trying to do right here. You make this about you. Life is not about me. Life's about him. And I just pray God will help us fathers to teach our children that. Young men, young ladies, listen, life is not about you. God's got you in his care. God will take care of you. God will provide for you. God will meet your every need. But please, don't get out trying to to do these spectacular, these daring things. Listen, if God wants you to do something that's outside the box, he'll tell you. I'd say walking on the water is outside the box. Amen. And he told him, come. And Peter went. He did. You say, but he sunk. It's because he took his eyes off the Lord. The third thing. Verse number 8, again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Oh, this moves from appetite of man to the ambition of man. And then the final thing, or the approval of man, and this is the ambition of man. Ambition. I want you to see how much pride. The devil will always lead man. Now listen to me. God always leads men to humility. Right? You can tell when God is at work in your life when you are humbling yourself before the Lord. When I'm humbling myself before the Lord, it is a good sign that God is at work in my life. When I'm walking around in pride, thinking I'm better than others, thinking I'm more important than others, you mark this down. That's not of God. That's of the God of this world. That's of Satan. When we walk around thinking we're all that, we are what we are by the good grace of God, brethren. Teach your children this, dads. Teach your children. And so here was this. Notice what Jesus told him. Verse number 9, I have to read this. He saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Isn't this the message of the devil to so many today? By the way, I want you to look into this. There is an inference here that says, just once. I want you to fall down just this once and worship me. Just one time. Can I tell you that's one of the biggest lies of the devil? Just one little toke. One little drink. Just one little fix. You listening? Just one little thrill. Just one night. Just one. Just once. And that's the inference here. Just fall down. Just this once. No one will know. It's just me and you up here. It's just me and you on this pinnacle, right? Is that what's happening here? It's just me and you. No one else has to know. Just me and you. Just fall down just this once and worship me. Look what Jesus did. If you'll notice in verse number 10, Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. What are we being taught here? We're being taught that the answer is in the Word. Do you have the answers? Do I have the answers? Well, I possess it. But it's got to be more than in my hands. It has to be in my heart. It has to be in your heart. Dads, teach your family. This is it right here. So, well, I'm teaching my son a good batting stance. That's good. That's good. When you get through, teach him a good psalm or proverb. You see, I'm not saying quit that. So don't leave here and say, well, the preacher, all he cares about is just a spiritual life. No, that's just what I care about most. That's not all I care about. Moms, teach them to cook. Or dads, amen. That's good too. Teach them to clean. Teach them responsibility. Teach them to work hard. Teach them a good work ethic. All these things are important. All of them are important. But now don't leave out the most important. It is written. It's written. I like what Jesus did here. He's a wonderful Savior. He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. But he didn't stop there. Satan never mentioned anything about service. But Jesus did. You know why? Because Jesus knows who you worship, that's who you're going to serve. Now, Satan knew that too. As a matter of fact, you could go back and look at every one of these temptations, and Satan was trying to kill Jesus. He was trying to keep him off the cross. Did you know, when we have Tammy's here, and we maybe have a couple of others in here that have some medical knowledge, you don't break a 40-day fast of nothing with hard food. Your system will go into shock. Could kill you. Am I right? I done a little research on this, and it was, you know, the devil, it all sounds good. Like, oh, you're hungry. Just eat. If you're hungry, you got to eat. Well, it depends. Depends on how long you've been fasting. What kind of condition your system's in. The devil's slick. He'll make you think that what he's offering, you must have.
when in reality, there's always a hidden agenda. Let me finish up the message. What's happening here? What's happening? Jesus took the temptation on. And he's saying to everyone in that day, everyone in the days gone by, and everyone in this day and the days that shall be, the thing that we need to get a hold of in life is what is written in this book right here. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So what are we going to do? Well, I want to give you five things, and I hope you'll write them down. Then I'm going to read a poem to you. First thing, you read your Bible, Dad. How are you going to give something if you don't have it? Read your Bible and obey your Bible. Would you do that? You say, well, how much should I read? Well, you ask the Lord. He'll show you. Don't ask the preacher. Read your Bible. Do you read your Bible? Do you know what's written? Do you know what's written? When the devil comes to you, can you say it is written? Can you? When the devil throws something to you, can you say, oh, no. Now, God's word says this, and that's why I'm not going to do that. So read your Bible. Number two, study to show thyself approved. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, you don't have to be a preacher to study the Bible. I'll tell you this. I've had some young men come to me and just recently, and I appreciate you, young men, I do, and said, hey, I want to know more about the Bible. Now, I hope it's not just so they can know more about the Bible, it's so they can obey it and teach it to their family. If you want to know how to study the Bible, come to me or one of the preachers. We've got some good men in the church that study their Bible. We want to help you study the Bible. The Bible is a manual for life. You say, well, I'm way behind, preacher. I'm way behind. Well, you can get caught up. Amen? Study the Bible. Number three, write it down. Pray. Pray. Make you a prayer list. Get you a prayer journal. Pray. Pray for your children. We're going to talk about in just a moment praying with your children. But pray for them. You ought to pray for your children. Don't just assume things are going to turn out right. Pray for your children. Pray for your family. Make you a list of things and people you ought to pray for. Keep you a journal. I think it's a good thing. Number four, have some family time. Pull your wife and children together. Even if it's 10 minutes, you say, well, you just don't know the chaos. Now, wait a minute now. You don't know what I know and don't know. I know a little something about family altar chaos. Amen. I do. But don't let that stop you. You say, well, I about gave it up, preacher. Oh, don't give it up. Listen, if you have to get together and just, if you have to just read one verse, two verses, three verses, let them read a verse and then have prayer with those children. It is so important that they understand there's a family altar time. There's a time for God in our day. God is just not a Sunday thing. Please hear me. Please hear me. It is written. It's not going to come by just attending church on Sunday. It is written. It's going to be a daily effort. I'm just trying to help us as dads and grandfathers. We've got a lot. Listen, there's a lot of pressure. But now God's our helper. God's our helper. You say, well, preacher, I don't even have a dad. I don't have a husband. Well, then you take that role until God provides differently. Okay? God loves you. He helps you. He wants to help you. Let him help you. So number one, read and practice the Bible. Read it daily. Number two, study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That's a workman. It's a little work. Get you some study materials. I'll be glad to help you. I mean that. You say, well, preacher, you're too busy. If I'm too busy to help a young man study the Bible, then I'm just plain too busy. I need to cut something out to help a young man be a great blessing to his family. I just want to help you. Number three, pray. Number four, have a little family time. If it's 2 or 3 minutes, whether you have children or not, just come together, read a few verses of Scripture, pray together, and commit your lives to God afresh. It will make a great, great change in your life and the way you conduct it in your home. Then finally, attend all the services. Be in Sunday school. Come with a pen and a notebook. Come to preaching. Come to Sunday night. Come to Wednesday night. Come to special meetings. I mean, just you know, act like you're hungry. Act like you fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Right? And be eager to take in. Say, God, I want to know when it's written. I want to know where it's written. I want to know that it's written. And I want to use it against the enemy. Would you do that? I pray you would. As we close today, I'm going to ask you to take your attention. You close your Bible. And I want to ask you, if you would, to put your attention to the screens here. Years ago, there was a man by the name of Harry Chapin. I don't even know who that is. Well, Harry Chapin was not a good man. I'm not being mean. I'm not being judgmental. I'm going by what his own testimony was. As a matter of fact, Harry Chapin said, I may be an agnostic, I'm not sure. And he sang this song that I'm going to read you the words to. It's called Cats in the Cradle. How many of you ever heard the song Cats in the Cradle? Raise them real high. Oh, I'm surprised. Not many at all. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that this is gospel. What I'm saying, it's got a good message to it, and I want you to listen. Because this has happened to so many people. Don't let it happen to you. But now I want you to hear something. This song, though Harry Chapin sang this song, now please listen to me now. He did not write this song. How many of you know who wrote the song Cats in the Cradle? Raise your hand. I've done some research. I was shocked. Who wrote Cats in the Cradle? His wife. Sally Chapin. She wrote it about her first husband. Do the research. His wife actually helped him write a lot of songs that he sang. So let's just look at this. My child arrived just the other day. He came into the world the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. He was talking, for I knew it. As he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you. You know, the little children's looking up to us, aren't they? Aren't they, Dad? Those little children. Listen, they don't stay but this high for so long. I don't know a son in all of life that hasn't looked up to their father and said, you know what? That's my hero. And there's not a thing wrong with that. You listen to me. There is not a thing wrong with that. You're going to have a hero. I couldn't think of a better one to have outside of Jesus than Daddy. Yeah. Bring up the rest of it there, Brother Tracy. So the child comes on the scene, and little child says, you know, I'm going to be just like you. Of course, Dad was busy. He's busy. He didn't have time. All right. My son turned 10. Boy, they do, too, before you know it. I mean, they get here, and before you know it, they turn 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he said, as he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. And he said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, you know, I'm going to be like him. You know, at first, when you neglect your responsibility, no matter what it is in life, it doesn't seem to have a sting or an impact. You see what's happening here? I hope you do. Because life and the devil has a way of just getting us so busy that we don't have time for the things that really matter. Now, there's some folks sitting under the sound of my voice. Some folks that you'd have family devotions. You'd spend that time. You'd be in church more often. You'd study your Bible if you just had time. Now, be careful now. Be careful. What you gonna cut out next? Throwing the ball? Seeing them ride their bike, sitting down and having a talk with them when they come home from school crying because they've been bullied? You going to tell them to go see mama? I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you life can do that to us. Let's go to the chorus there, Brother Tracy. Well, the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know, we'll have a good time then. Isn't that the way it always is? Now, listen, I'm away, but now I'll be there next time. I'll be at the next game. Or I'll help you next time. Or you know, I'll be there the next situation. See, this is the lie of the enemy. I'm just trying to help us here. The enemy does this kind of thing. He wasn't there when he was born. 10 years, boom, still not there. And then let's go to the next one. Well, he came home from college. Whoa, boy, that happens before you know it too, doesn't it, dads? Come on. Yeah. Boy, life's here and it's gone, I'm telling you. You say, oh, now, preacher, I'm here and I'm 20, I'm 25. Man, I'm just wondering, will time ever press on? Well, you just give it just a few more years and you'll be holding on. The devil will have you so busy, you'll forget time. Before you know it, he'll go from 10 to coming home from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can't you sit for a while? He shook his head, and then he said with a smile, well, I'd really like to, Dad. What I'd really like is to borrow the keys, the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? Uh-oh, what's happening, folks? He really is becoming just like Dad. Now, he don't have time for the ones he loves and the things that he should be involved in. And so, the thing that Dad wanted and the thing that son wanted is coming to pass, but unfortunately, it's in the wrong way, isn't it? If we're not careful, we don't intentionally scope out our lives, we could find ourselves in this dilemma. And I'm just trying to warn against it, brethren, that's all. I'm just trying to warn against it. Please, slow down. Slow down. Prioritize some things. Break open this book right here. Give it its rightful place in your home. That's all. Let's close with this last one. Well, I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he had grown up just like me. My boy, just like me. Let's go to that chorus one more time, Brother Tracy. And the cat's in the cradle. Boy, they're just young. And they're laying there helpless. Little boy blue, man on the moon. Well, when you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know, we'll have a good time then. One day I'm going to make the Bible a priority in our lives. The Bible's going to be number one in our home one day. One day we're going to study. One day we're going to have family devotions. One day we're going to attend church regularly. One day we're going to serve God as a family. One day, one day, one day, one day, and then days are gone. And that's the way life can come at you if you're not careful. And I'm trying to help you now. I really, truly am. Be careful. All right, let's stand. Say, preacher, I know what you said today is true. I need to get more involved, and it is written. You do. I do. I want to know more about what's written. I really do. I'm not just saying that. I mean that. I want to immerse myself more in the Word of God.